Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3 this morning. We're going to continue the series that we've been teaching on. The God in the unexpected. God is in unexpected things, in unexpected places. He shows up. You know, the world misses the Lord all the time. They miss him. They miss him in the rainbow. They miss him in the sunset. They miss him in the sunrise. They miss him. I'll go ahead and say this. They'll miss him in the television. They'll miss him on the radio. This is going to sound nuts to you, all right? Well, no, let me rephrase that. This will sound nuts to the world. This will sound all right to you. Some of you, it might make you go tilt a little bit. But God will be speaking something to you, just leading you in some still small way, something in your heart. God is leading you in a certain way. And God will bring confirmation in a song. God will bring confirmation out of somebody who didn't even mean to give you confirmation. People might say something that will confirm. It could even be an enemy, someone who don't even like you very much, and they'll say something that will ring true into your ears, and God is using the ordinary extraordinarily. And so the reason why people miss the Lord all the time is he's in the ordinary. He's in the ordinary. And he's speaking all the time. It's, will we hear him? Oh, my goodness. I feel like I want to throw things and run around. I feel good this morning. The only thing I have in my hand is an iPad, so I ain't throwing it. You'll catch it? Somebody's going to catch it? All right, who said that? Because I'm going to throw it toward you. All right, there we go. I know who to throw it toward now. So I have a question for you. How many people in this place would say, Pastor, I need to hear from the Lord? How many of you say, that's me? That's me. Hands up all over this place. You might be facing a situation. You might be facing, whatever it is you're facing that you need to hear from God. It may not even be anything bad. It just might need to be, you might need to hear from Lord on a direction. And so this morning, we've got to be able to hear from the Lord. You found Exodus chapter 3? We're going to start in verse 1. I love this. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I want to stop right there at Jethro. That is a good name. Y'all made fun of Jethro for years. Jethro is a godly name. Jethro, his father-in-law. Now, see, talking about someone being faithful and stuff that wasn't his, Moses was being faithful here. Oh, and we could look at the past of Moses. Moses was a murderer. Moses didn't even stick around to face what he did wrong. He ran away. He was a criminal at large. You went to the post office, his face was there. Most wanted in Egypt. Most wanted, we want Moses. All right, let's continue. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, whatever. And he fled. He led the flocks to the backside of the desert. To the backside. There's something about the backside of the desert. And came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, not Mount Horeb here in Wisconsin. Did you know that Moses was in Mount Horeb? And so in all of this, Moses came to Wisconsin. On the backside of the desert. Some of you may feel like you're on the backside of the desert this morning. Some of you may feel like you're in a desert place. Some of you may feel like you need to hear God. Moses was in a worse place scenario than you were. Moses was wealthy. All right, we'll get into that. We'll talk more about Moses' background. Moses lost it all over his own stupid mistake. Have you ever lost something because it was your own fault? That hurts even. I don't know which one hurts worse. They both hurt pretty bad. Whether you lose something because of somebody else or whether you lose something because of your own self. At least if it's somebody else, you can blame somebody else. But when it's your own fault, you got to look in the mirror and say, man, you messed up. You made a stupid, stupid, stupid mistake. And Moses was reminded that every morning that he had to get up and smell sheep. We got to talk about this for a moment. All right. So he was raised he was raised with Pharaoh. He was raised among very wealthy elite. He had the best education. He had the best training. And also, when you go back in this time and research the kings and priests, they didn't have perfume. So you know what they did? They would cut open oranges and grapefruit and all this stuff, and they would smear it on themselves. I don't know how they kept from being sticky. But they would put that to smell good. They would get flowers, and they would soak them in water. And then they would put the water on themselves to smell, have a pleasant smell about them. So Moses was used to smelling good. He was used to walking around the GQ of his day. He walked among people, dressed better, talked better, looked better, better educated. He was the elite of his society.
That's right.
And because of his mistakes, now he wakes up smelling like sheep and BO. And he's working on the backside of a desert. I think, you know, it's one thing to be raised that way. It's one thing to grow up that way. It's another thing to have everything and lose it all. I grew up in a poor society, and thank God my family did well, and we got out of the mess that we were in. But when I grew up poor, everybody was poor. We didn't know any better. It took me a long time to realize that that was poor. I grew up in the poorest county in the state of Florida at the time. We moved up. Now we're the second poorest county in the state of Florida. I blame my mom for that. And so, you know, there's something about being born in poverty and living in it. And there's something about being born with everything and then all of a sudden going into poverty. They both are terrible things to be in. But can you imagine the mentality of having the elite everything and losing it all? Moses did. He had everything and he lost it all. So let's continue reading about Moses. Let's go down to verse 2 here. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see a great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? And when the Lord saw, he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. When you know, what is that? I'm trying to think of the name. So nice, you got to say it twice. Moto, moto. Moto, moto. So nice, you got to say it twice. And so when God says something to you twice, you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention no matter when God's speaking. But when he says your name twice, he's trying to get your attention. And so he got Moses' attention here. And Moses was smart enough to say, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standeth is holy ground. I want to say this. You remember I said a couple Sundays ago about people imitating the action and not what was behind the action. And so in church today, and I'm not knocking this because I've done it, but I'm not knocking this where people get into a holy presence and they take their shoes off because they're standing on holy ground. They recognize the Spirit of God moving in the building, and they want to reverence God as Moses reverenced God. The action was taking the shoes off, but what was behind it is reverencing the Holy Spirit. Reverencing that God, having a reverence about you and honor what God is doing in the place. So do you know what the biggest disgrace is in the Middle East? The bottom of your feet. The bottom of your shoes. That's when the statue of Saddam Hussein fell. They took their shoes off and they ran behind it and hitting the statue. When the reporter wanted to be the biggest disgrace he could to George W. Bush, who was President George W. Bush, who was over there, what did he throw at him? He threw his shoes. That was the biggest sign of disrespect that he could possibly give. Because if I wanted to throw something at somebody, I could have picked a better thing to throw. You know, shoes is not something, that's not a big deal. That doesn't hurt as bad as some other things you could throw. Why did he throw his shoes? That was the biggest disrespect that he could have showed the President of the United States. That's why he did it. I'm not here talking about politics this morning, but I'm trying to get you to understand the mentality of the Middle East of honoring. So the filthiest thing he had was his sandals. And God said, this is a place of honor. Now reverence the place that I'm in. So for you, it would look different. It's not taking your shoes off. It's not that action. It's a different thing for you. Okay? All right. Where did I leave off? Who's paying attention? 3:5. Okay. Okay, so we read 5, right? Now let's go to 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7, and Moses said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen thy afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters. for I know their sorrow. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, all these wonderful tribes. We keep reading verse 9. And now, therefore, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This scripture brings me a lot of joy this morning. And I'll give you the reasons why. In the United States, we're not as bad as the Egyptians are, or as the Israelites were in Egyptians. We're not slaves. We're not being beat to build and to, we're not forced. Some of you might argue with that politically, whether or not we are forced into some things, but we still have some freedoms and choices here. And so we can get in doom and gloom in our own nation and say, they're taking away our freedoms. And I'm not talking about this president. I'm talking about every president and Congress before them, because it's slowly, they've passed laws slowly, whether they were Republican or Democrat or nonpartisan, Green Party, no matter who they are, they have slowly chipped away at the Constitution of the United States, until we're at a place now where we have reached an apex of time where our Congress doesn't care about the Constitution of the United States. Doesn't care. They have broke the number one rule. You can't pass a law that pertains to the people that does not pertain to the government itself. And they have passed. I'm not here to ask what you think about health care. Could care less what you think about health care in our nation. But what I am saying is they have passed a law pertaining to health care that they have exempt themselves from, and that breaks the Constitution of the United States. And if we wanted to stick to the foundations which we were at, they should all, every one of them, be charged with treason. So in all of this, and I'm not blaming this administration, it wouldn't be possible for this to happen if it wasn't for the last administration. And it wouldn't be possible for that to happen if it wasn't for the administration before and before and before and before. And it just keeps going on back. I could point to almost every president and say that they have broke the law in some way, shape, or form. They all have. They all have. I'm not speaking bad. It's a system we got. We live in the system we have. And we pray for those that are above us. All right, so I'm not blaming a party. I'm blaming people. And you want to know who I blame more than anyone about this? I blame the church. The church allows things to happen. The church should be praying. The church should be powerful. The church should be telling Congress what should be allowed. All right, that's just me in there. I see I'm going to have to pray before we continue on this, all right? Did I read? Yeah, I read all the way to 10. You know, there are many messages about what to say to God. I've been in many conferences with how to pray. Have you been to those? How to pray, what to pray. What you should do, your actions, how you should do things, how you should honor God. I've been to a lot of conferences like that. But I'm going to just say this. One of the greatest things we should probably learn, one of the greatest skills we should possibly learn, is how to hear God. That is one of the greatest skills we need to learn, is how to hear from God. Because when we don't hear from God, what happens? We will imitate the actions of Moses. We'll imitate the actions of David. We'll imitate the actions of the kings of past, where God has told them to do something. And we'll imitate that action and not imitate what was behind the action, that they actually heard from God. Because sometimes it's to praise before the army. Not to fight, but to praise. And then there's other times, like God spoke to David, take a sword. Now, he's not telling you to take a sword. I'm going to be very clear here. And take the land. Take it by force. But there will be times that action is required. And then there will be times that God will say, stand still and see my salvation. There will be times. And so we have got to turn it into an art form to hear from the Lord. And when we do hear from the Lord, we shouldn't be surprised. So in this, I remember, sometimes I've had people in service come to me and say, I want to share something with the congregation. God spoke to me. And I'm like, well, first, what is it? Because God may be speaking just to you. And we shouldn't be shocked if God is speaking to our hearts during service. That's what happens. When you get in the presence of God, I'm more shocked if you haven't been led in one way, shape, or form. All right, let's pray. I see right now I need prayer. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Help me to deliver this message and help us to tune out all the static that is around us this Christmas season. But help us to tune it out even when Christmas is over. When we go into the new year, let us tune the static of this world out. And may we be able to surround ourselves to hear from you, to be in the place that we hear from the Lord. And God, still the voice of distractions and confusion and chaos that try to creep into our lives, but still our soul, that we may be able to hear from you. And God, do what only you can do. Personalize this message to each individual and customize the words that come out of my mouth so that when I speak, that the words come alive to each individual heart, because that's only truly something you can do, Father. We pray that in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. All right, so I'm going to say this before we start. A lot of damage has been done out in the world in the name of Jesus, or in the name of God. Many religions, not just Christianity. Christianity has done very well at it. But other religions as well has done evil things in the name of God. The Crusades were horrible and hideous. And they were done in the name of God. They were not godly. And I'm going to say this. If your intent to get something done is godly, but your delivery is not, it is not of God. And God could have been in something in the beginning, but you could get outside of the will of God in your delivery of the message. I'll let y'all think on that for a while. You need to ponder that. Now, I remember in my life, I had a 60-plus-year-old woman come to me when I was just started in ministry and said, God has spoken to me. And I said, all right, what has God said to you? And she said, you are to be my husband. Let me pray on that one. Nope. Heard a very clear no. And this lady was cuckoo for Cocoa Pops. I mean, you can just pretty much imagine that. And she told me that she called up Brother Benny Hinn, and Benny Hinn agreed with her. I asked her to tell Benny, give me a call. I'd love to speak with him. She was truly out of her mind. But she said, God has told me you are to be my husband. My answer to her was, you better start telling God to speak to me. And she just told me, you're not as spiritual as I am, so you're not hearing. I said, then why in the world would you want to marry someone that's not spiritual? She said, it is ordained by the Lord. I'm like, so what do you want to do? Grow me up the way you want me? No, never mind. I won't get into my whole conversation with the lady. But it was quite an extensive conversation. I found it a little hysterical. And as I continued to talk to her, I could tell she didn't find it as funny as I did. She got more and more angry. Now, someone has also told me this in the past. They said, Pastor, you are not called into ministry. And you should quit. And if you don't quit, God will kill you. Let me pray on that. Nope. Okay, thank you so much for delivering the message, but you are wrong. And so you're going to have to hear from God yourself. Because this is what I've had someone come to me and say, Pastor, someone prophesied that I should go on a mission trip and that I should go to this country and I should be there for a while. What do you think about that? And my question is always, did you hear? Was that something God has already spoken into your heart? No, never. I said, well, then you better take that person with you, because if you didn't hear to go, you'll never hear when to come home. So God in prophecies is to confirm what God has already spoken in your heart. God should be leading you before someone else speaks to you. It should be a twinkling in your own heart. Because we're in a new covenant. In the old covenant, prophets were so important. They still are. I'm not knocking prophet ministry here. But what I'm saying is in the Old Testament, they led people. In the New Testament, they confirmed the spirit that's already on the inside of you. They didn't have God living on the inside of them. And we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us today. Can I get an amen this morning? I feel like I'm about ready to preach. Now, also, people have flown planes into buildings, causing them to crumble in the name of Allah, translated in the name of God. And I want to tell you something. We serve two different gods. They'll tell you that we don't, but we do. We do not serve a God that causes planes to crash into buildings. We do not serve a God that does that. All right. Yeah, I'm going to say that. We do not serve a God that causes tsunamis to destroy nations either. No, I haven't really been working on it. Don't clap. That wasn't good. Y'all are funny. I love you. But this is the problem. So we have heard so many people say in God, and I'm going to tell you, Pentecostals have been the worst at it, have been absolutely the worst. Those who are charismatic and believe in the gifts have been the worst. They have come to people and said, I have been led by the Spirit of God to tell you this. And then they were so mean and hateful and said horrible things, and it hurt people's heart. And then we've had people that have made mistakes and committed sin, and they have used the excuse that God has called me to do this. You don't understand. This is what God has called me to do. And they've caused people to never enter the church again because they're here like, if this is God, I want nothing to do with him. And so terrible things have been said in the name of God. And like I said, Pentecostals have been the worst. Absolutely. Charismatic has been the worst in doing things in the name of God. And it wasn't the name of God. How about this? If you've done something and it screwed up and it didn't come out flat and it didn't happen, maybe, just maybe, I know this is a radical thought, maybe you missed it. Can I say I've missed it before? I have absolutely missed it in decision making. I have missed it. I've missed it. And the thing is, when we miss it, we just dust ourselves off and we move forward. My daddy, you know, I played baseball. And the one thing that my daddy would tell me to do is, son, don't get struck out and not swing. He's like, you get struck out, but swing. So I just look at it this way. Sometimes I miss it, but at least I swung. At least I stepped out. Now, but I'm mad enough to say I must have made a mistake. I've done that even in service. I remember I said something to somebody. Does that make sense to you? Does that seem like it lines up with your life? He said, no. And what I said was absolutely wrong to him. I said, you know what? I'm human. I must have missed it. Let's move on. And then I moved on. I'm not, you know, there's a little hurt to your pride if you missed it. But let's just call it for what it is. We've missed it. And it shouldn't stop you from moving forward, and it shouldn't cause, you know, just disastrous thought. We're learning. We're all moving. Let's continue to learn together and grow together. Okay? All right. I'm glad y'all liked that. So we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater just because a lot of freaks, flakes, and nuts all, you know, got together and said, in the name of God, we've done this, and God had no part with it. We just keep moving forward. We keep moving after the word. And we're not going to shun gifts from God because others misuse it. I'm glad y'all agree with that. If you're taking notes, and I believe that most of you are, let's write this down. God still speaks. Say to your neighbor, God can still speak to you. I want you to know something. God did not stop speaking thousands of years ago. He did not stop speaking with Moses. He did not stop speaking with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He did not stop moving miracle signs and wonders when the Old Testament ended. It didn't stop there, but many theologians will tell you that he did. They will say that the move of the Holy Spirit stopped on the day of Pentecost, that it was just for a sign. But we know that's not true because the disciples went and then they baptized other people. The Spirit of God continued to move on those who didn't even know. Remember what the disciples were talking to some folks, and I'm going to write the Southern translation. I just call it TL translation. Everybody names it after themselves. I'll write the TL Southern translation. And so this would be my translation. Disciple goes, hey boys. Hey, did you be filled? Did you be filled? I probably should do it a little better than that. Have you been filled with the Spirit of God? Mm-hmm. And they turned to him and said, we don't even know if there be a spirit. We haven't heard nothing. We haven't heard nothing about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, be it unto you. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we see people who wasn't even there on the day of Pentecost receiving the Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Yes. So that's one thing they can't really, you know, describe if it stopped on the day of Pentecost. Now, there are Bible scholars who believe that God quit speaking. Now, I do want to say God is still speaking. I want to put it very clearly. There are no new Bibles being written. No new books of the Bibles being written. God can speak to your heart, but there are no new books. It is finished. It is complete. It is done. And so there's nothing being added. So if you hear that someone found the lost book or someone else is writing a book, they are wrong. They were absolutely wrong. Now, let's look at Moses. I said we wanted to talk about this. Moses, let's look at the life of Moses for a second. He survived mass genocide. Isn't that something? Pharaoh declared a decree that the Israelites were getting too big in population. So he declared a decree that all the males, all the born males are going to be drowned in the Nile River of a certain age. Going to kill them all to stop the population from, you know, growing out of hand. Because Pharaoh was concerned that the Israelis would get too big and overtake Egypt. That the slaves were producing at such a rate that at one time the population would be more, that they would, that the Egyptians would become a minority and the majority could overtake the minority. And so he didn't want that to happen. So he committed mass genocide to wipe them out, to subdue the increased number of Jewish people on the face of the earth. So, you know the story. Moses' mother put him in a basket, sealed the basket up. I don't know with what. There's a lot of expectation. Let's just say tar. Sealed it up, put some stuff in there, put a baby in, put baby Moses in, shipped baby Moses off down the Nile River, and had her her sister, Moses' sister, to watch. And they're here like, you know, we know the princess. She bathes down here. She gets in the water down here. Let's make sure that basket gets down there to the princess. And it does. It successfully makes it the way down there. The princess someone opens the basket. There's a baby. Princess likes babies. Thank God she liked chitlins. And so she took the child, she picked him up, and she claimed the child as her own. And so Moses was raised in the palace. The descendant of slave raised in a palace. So Moses grows up believing that he is royalty. He grows up believing that he is in line to heir of the throne. If his brother dies, Moses would rule and reign in all of Egypt. And so he had the best education. Now, this is a theory. You could just put this out there for your talks amongst yourself, not during service, but later. Moses uses an excuse to God when God calls him and says, I stutter. I think Moses lied. I think he lied to God. That's a personal opinion. You ain't got to take that. But Moses had the best education, and we read nowhere that Moses stuttered until he got in the presence of God. And that's enough to make some people stutter sometimes, especially if you don't know him. And Moses didn't know the Lord like that. And so Moses is raised up, and then all of a sudden he hears that he is the descendant of slaves, that he is a Hebrew. He is not an Egyptian. Can you imagine? Okay, and I believe he's older in age, and I believe the Bible backs that up. So can you imagine it's when someone finds out they're adopted? All of a sudden, well, who are my parents, and where did I come from, and what is my background like, and they want to know more information, and I believe that was Moses wanting to know more information. So he starts, you know, watching the Hebrews, the slaves, at a different angle. Now all of a sudden he sees that could be his life, that he deserves the life that they're living. He deserves to be the one making the bricks and being beat when they're not done properly or not done in the right amount of time. He says, that could be my life. And he's starting to connect with a people group that he knows nothing about. And he sees one of the guards beating a Israeli. And what does he do? He steps in to stop it. Not only does he stop it, he kills the man that was beating the Israeli. And he thinks he's going to be welcomed with open arms among his people. And his people basically says, what are you going to do? You going to kill me now, Moses? See, and it's interesting. I believe there was chatter among the Israelis that they all knew that Moses was one of them. They all knew. I believe it was gossiped about. It was talked about around the water coolers and as they're stomping the mud and the straw together. Moses, oh, it would be nice to live up there, wouldn't it? One of our own and made it out. Dear God, what I would do to trade places with him. So I believe they all knew. I think they all knew. And when it came place, it's like, what, you going to kill us too, Moses? What are you going to do here? How are you going to get out of this mess? And so Moses runs, and he runs to the desert. And so this kind of interests me as well. It was very common for the Pharaoh to be taught how to survive and how to train in war. I believe Moses was probably an expert. No, I know he was. Really, I mean, the Bible backs this up. He was an expert in military thinking. He was an expert in military training and thinking. They trained the pharaohs this way. Why? Because if there was ever a coup and they had to run, they needed to be able to survive in the desert. They taught Moses how to survive in the desert. So when he got out there, he knew where to run. He didn't run blindly. He ran to the desert because that's what he was trained to do if he was ever under attack. Start thinking. Never been taught it quite like this, have you?
No.
Neither have I. You just got to study. Now, so you may feel like you can't hear from God. You may feel like Moses, I've messed up. I've committed sin. I've ran and I've had to run to a bad place. I've had to run to an unfavorable place. I'm surviving. And that may feel like all you're doing is surviving. So you may be in the same place as Moses. And you may even contemplate this idea. I don't even deserve to hear from God. Well, neither do I. So welcome to the club. And neither does your neighbor. Neither does anyone else. If you have ever told a little white lie, which is a mistaken name for a lie. Yeah. If you've ever overeaten. Oh, dear God. When you should have put that pecan pie back and you didn't. I'm going to tell on myself. Sometimes I'm just going to admit, you know, first step is admitting. Sometimes I just get a whole pecan pie and then I throw ice cream on top of the pie and whipped cream and I just eat the whole thing. Don't you look at me like that. I know you have something that's disgusting as well in your life. And that is disgusting, but that's a pool in my life. And so if you've ever done that, if you've ever overeaten, if you've ever lied, if you've ever, God told you to do something and you ignored it and you didn't follow the path exactly like you were called, you do not deserve to hear from God. But the good news is we're covered by the blood of Jesus, which makes us righteous. In our own self, our righteousness stinks. In our own self, our righteousness can never get us to God. We can never do enough work. But because of the blood, because of what Jesus has done for us, it makes us righteous. It makes us righteous. We have been redeemed. We have been made righteous in our relationship with God, and his people has been restored. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so that makes you worthy to hear God. You don't make you worthy to hear from the Lord. God has made and accounted you worthy to hear from him. And so we can't believe the lie of the enemy saying, I can't hear because I don't deserve it. Of course not. If you look at your own works, none of us deserve it. But if you look at the works that God has done for us, we all deserve it.
Amen.
Number two, you can write this down. God is able to ignite the ordinary. Mm-hmm. Now, y'all are warming up. Took y'all a long time. Now, we have to look at the scripture of the burning bush. Now, most of us might think, "What if I need a burning bush? If I just had God manifest in this manner, I would do everything the Lord would tell me to do." I just wonder this. God doesn't, you know, this is not something that's in the Bible, so it could mean nothing. It could never happen. My question is, how many times did the bush burn before Moses noticed it? He was out in the desert. That was an ordinary thing. Ordinary. A bush is ordinary. Now, the fire, also an ordinary substance. What made it extraordinary is that it didn't burn. How many people would have noticed? How many people would have noticed a bush far away on fire but not burning? How many people would have noticed? In the day, not at night, in the day. How many people would notice? I would just like to put this out there for your thought. God is always speaking. God is always leading. Are we listening? Are we listening? So we have a bush that's on fire. We have God using something ordinary. So when an ordinary person, an ordinary thought, an ordinary expression is ignited by extraordinary substance, the very presence of God, that is where God speaks. I want to say this, you know, before I moved to Madison, this was a big deal for me. I was born and raised a Floridian. If it was 70 and the wind was blowing, we wore a jacket. that was cold to us. I remember one time in our entire life, it got down in the teens. We didn't know what to do. You had to keep your water running because our pipes aren't insulated. Not only is our pipes not insulated, but our wash machines are normally outside. That tells you how redneck we are. We had a wash house. We had a shed that wasn't connected to the home where we did our washing. I know that's kind of out there for a lot of people. That's the way we were raised. Your wash machine wasn't in your house, and it wasn't on your back porch. It was in a shed out a little ways away from the house. So you had to walk out to wash your clothes. So we have a wash machine that when it freezes, we got to go out there and put a light bulb in, a lamp, and turn it on so it won't freeze and bust. And so this is what I come from. I mean, it's not common for it to be cold, or at least very cold for long periods of time. So all of a sudden, I feel God is leading me to Madison. And my brain is going tilt. Why would God call a Floridian a cracker? Not just the color of my skin, but I fit both those categories. I thought I'd get a little more laughing. Thank you, Z-Joy, for at least snickering. So calling a Floridian, Floridians are called crackers, just in case you didn't know. A Floridian cracker to the cold of Madison, Wisconsin. I was told by everyone why I shouldn't do it. I'll give you some of the reasons, the major reasons. And I'll tell you something, all these reasons, I was speaking to myself before anyone ever spoke them to me. Before anyone ever spoke them to me, I spoke them to myself. They said, son, listen to the way you talk. Listen to your accent. Do you think, and I hope this doesn't offend you, and I don't think it's an offensive word, but do you think any Yankee's going to listen to you? Ain't no Yankee going to sit down and listen, have you teach them. All they hear is an accent that makes them think that you don't have any teeth. They're all fake. You walk barefooted all the time, and you go to family reunions to look for a date. That's what they told me. I already thought that. By the way, I've never gone to a family reunion looking for a date. That's Arkansas. That's not Florida. And I apologize if anybody's listening from Arkansas. So, no, I don't. That's funny. I don't care who you are. You need to laugh at yourself. So in all this, and then they said, you know how cold it gets there? I said, oh, yeah, I know how cold it is. We watched y'all on the Weather Channel all the time. We would turn on and be like, well, good God almighty, look at that. And I'll tell you what they always said. Birds have enough sense to fly south for the winter. That's exactly what they would say. I said it many times. And so I just thought, this is crazy. I can't survive. I can't survive in Wisconsin. Nobody will listen to me. Listen to my accent. They'll all subtract 100 IQ points when I open my mouth. Did y'all ever think that? Raise your hand right now if you ever thought that. We either have a whole lot of light or we have one person telling the truth. One. One. Ushers take care of him after service. And I remember my first year, I even made a deal with the Lord. And I don't recommend you make deals with God. I said, God, if the snow comes to pass my knee, I'm gone. I am gone, gone, gone. First year, it came right up to my knee and never passed. So in all of this, I had to get along to hear from God. Because too many people were chattering in my ear. Families were talking to me. Friends were talking to me. Aunts and uncles, I know that fits in the family category, talking to me. Everybody's talking to me, telling me every reason why I shouldn't go. And there's a little umph in my heart that says, you need to go. And it didn't make sense. It didn't even make sense with what I thought I was supposed to do. It didn't make sense to me. So I went to a lake called Wright's Lake, close to Sumatra, Florida. Or that's how they say it. It's actually Sumatra. It's named after the place in Africa, Sumatra. But it is, by locals, it's Sumatra. So I went to Wright's Lake, close to Sumatra. And I went out there thinking that I was going to hear from God very quickly. So I took my tent. It's a campground that nobody camps at anymore because they make you pay a fee to stay there. So everybody quit camping there. And so I knew I'd be the only one. And I thought I'd be there for, you know, maybe the night. So I didn't bring any food. I just thought I ate before I went. Thought I'll hear from God and I'll know. I was there for 3 days. 3 days wrestling, fighting on the inside of myself, trying to get direction on whether I should come to Madison or not. And I remember the day. Now, I want to say this. so that our minds don't go anywhere. I was wearing shorts, okay? Swimming shorts. So I was taking a bath in the lake. I didn't want y'all to think anything. and so I remember I'm praying and I'm singing just, you know, it, to the Lord, and he would be the only one to appreciate it, so I will not sing it to you. Just singing his praises and just praying about what I'm supposed to do, and I'm hungry. Oh, my Lord, I'm hungry. And so I figured out, I already heard the direction of God in my life. And so I'm out there, and I'm praying, and I'm not really thought, and I remember I washed my hair, and I put it in the water, and I come back up, and just as soon as I came up, I heard clearly, not a loud booming voice, but on the inside of me, I heard, go to Madison. Go to Madison. What I was waiting for. What I was waiting for. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I left, that thought was challenged. That was challenged instantly when I left. What does the Bible say? When the word of God falls upon ground, the devil immediately comes to steal it. And I'm going to tell you, he tried everything, and his people would speak to me. They didn't know they were a hindrance to me stepping into my position. They thought they were doing what was right. They were telling me, son, you can't be going up there to the north. They don't like people like you. They won't listen to people like you. You can't survive. You can survive down here where it's warm, but you can't survive up there in that cold. You can't do it. Who's going to listen to you, for God's sakes? Listen to how you talk. You don't even speak English, let alone anything else. They're like, they're going to think you uneducated. It don't matter how much education you have, as long as you have an accent. No, I'll go ahead and say this. There's some truth to that. Last thing you want to hear is your doctor say, all right, now this is what we're going to do. I'm going to just put a slit down you, just right on down. I'm going to open you up, poke around, see if we can find out what's wrong. That's not how you want to hear your doctor talk. So I get it. And so people were speaking what I already knew, but God spoke to me, something just so ordinary, something that I was already being led to do, spoke to me on the inside. It wasn't a loud, thunderous voice, and that's what people are looking for. They're looking for loud thunder. They're looking for the earth to shake, the wind to blow, and God says, I'm in the still, small voice. And so I had to make it up in my own self. I knew the will of God for my life. And so I had to follow God myself, and other people tried to talk me out of it. Now, Psalms 19:1 says the heavens have declared the glory of God, and the firmament are the skies, basically, show his handiwork. I'm going to tell you something. I'm sometimes dumbfounded to look up at the sky at night, not in Madison because you can't see it, but in Fitchburg, well, you can actually still see the stars. And you get out even further than that, they're beautiful. And then the sunsets where the colors shoot across the sky, and the world will tell us that this was all a happy accident. They'll say, it takes more faith to believe that this was an accident than to believe God created it. Because, you know, you can keep challenging the people. Well, it was the Big Bang. Well, you know, I believe in Big Bang. God spoke and bang, it happened. I don't care if God played marbles in heaven or what he did. I'm not smart enough to know how God does everything. But I am smart enough to know that when God says it, that's what it is. So God created, and I don't care how long it took him. And first of all, we can't get hung up on these things. We try to say, well, God created in 6 days. Let me tell you something. The world was not even spinning around the sun until he told it to do so. There wasn't even a day. I don't care how long God worked on it. It doesn't bother me. Whether it was 6 actual days, or some say a day with the Lord is 1,000 or 6,000 years, or if it was a much longer span that I can't even imagine, God set the time. Time is just for us. It's not for God. God needs no time. I just want to put this out there for your thought. Before you even needed something, God knew you was going to pray about it. And so he put something into action. This is so interesting. Some of you needed a place to stay. So God went back to the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s and built a home so your butt would get it when you prayed.
Amen.
Hello. He created something. He knew your need before you did and put something into action. Before you ever got there to even you knew you needed it. Makes you want to moonwalk again, doesn't it? It does. God is just that good. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray. You know, well, I shouldn't pray, Pastor, if God already put it into work. Well, God knows the future from the end, the beginning and the end. He knew when you were going to pray. All right, let's just say that. Let's go. Let's keep moving. So in all of this, God has is speaking in his creation shows his handiwork. And what I mean by this, you can keep talking to people who say there was nothing and something came into existence. You keep talking to them and praising. Well, they'll say, well, two rocks collided, and when it did, these asteroids collided, and it started spinning, it got real hot, and then all these little rocks slung off, and that's how we got the planets and the world. You know what? Do you know what? Statistically, for the earth to be right where it is so life could be existing on this planet, statistically, how many asteroids would have to hit and spin by themselves with nothing behind it? It's astronomically insane. But even if you believe, if there's somebody who truly believes that, then ask them, where did the asteroids come from? They can't tell you that. Well, they existed. Maybe it was a bunch of dust. Well, where did the dust come from? Where did it come from? They can't answer those. They can't answer it. They cannot answer. And so, however God decided to make the earth, he decided to make it. And he is the creator of all things. And when we look in the skies, God is speaking every day of his creation and his abilities and his power. The question isn't, is God speaking? The question is, are we listening? Most of us don't even need to hear more from God. Most of us need to do what God has already spoken us to do. Some of us, we're wanting a new word, and what we need to do is get in the word and do the word that he has already spoken to us. You know, it's kind of interesting. Maybe God is speaking to you through your children. Believe it or not. Yeah, I always find it funny when parents say, well, believe it or not, my kid told me something that confirmed what God spoke in my heart. I can't believe it. Well, why can't you believe it? They're spiritual beings just like you. And they may not even know what they're doing. There have been people I've said something to and they said, Pastor, you don't know. You have no idea what that means to me. And you're right, I don't. I have no understanding of what it meant to you. But God did. And the Bible says if we are men and women of God, if we are children of God, then we are led by the Spirit of God. And that includes our speech. Sometimes we'll say something, we won't know the meaning behind it, but it'll touch someone else right to their heart. And if our children are children of God, sometimes they'll make a statement. Now, sometimes they're just nuts, you know. I mean, if you got kids like mine, you know, they make statements and you're like, all right, whatever. And sometimes they speak and it confirms something that's on the inside of your heart already. Sometimes I know this is going to be insane, you know, women, but sometimes maybe your husband is being led by the Spirit of God. And I know this may be crazy, men, you already know when your wife speaks, it is God speaking. You know. Somebody better tell my wife I said that. One time I asked her, don't I get brownie points? She said, if you want brownie points, you take them to Rosie. Because Rosie's the only one that makes me brownies. Oh, you gotta love her. So also, let me just say this to the teens. Maybe when your mama and daddy says something, it might be the direction of God for your life. Oh, shocking. Shocking. And maybe also they've already been there. Mm-hmm. Lord, forgive us of all our sins. Amen. But God can speak to some very ordinary things. I want to tell a story. This is going to be probably the last story I tell, probably. Time-wise, I'm doing pretty all right, if I don't count the time that I missed. I just want to say this. How many eats Jell-O? How many of you eat Jell-O? I really enjoy Jell-O. I like Jell-O. And so I remember, how many knows what Jell-O's made out of? Very good. If you said sugar. Oh, you're so funny. It does have a lot of sugar in it, but that ain't what I'm talking about. Jell-O or gelatin comes from the bones of dead animals. And most places it comes from their hoofs because that's the only part of the animal we don't really use. And so they need the marrow. I'm sorry. Some kids are looking at me like this. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. It doesn't change that it's good. It does not change that it's good. And so I was telling my wife over a year ago, I mean, like, baby, we need to start eating some more gelatin. We need to start eating some more gelatin. Because she doesn't eat anything with bones in it. I can't even comprehend that. How can you, I mean, you just got to eat ribs and they all have bones. She doesn't like picking up bones or having meat off bones. Little cuckoo. No, I'm just, don't tell her that part. But so I told her over a year ago, we need to start eating more Jell-O. She was eating Jell-O. And I'm like, you need to eat more Jell-O. Why do I need to eat more Jell-O? Because it's got gelatin in it. It comes from the bone of animals. You don't eat nothing with bones. You don't put no ham hock in anything and cook that thing down and allow that marrow and stuff in the bones to get into the meat and the food we eat. And you need those enzymes to break down the meats. Isn't it interesting that on the inside of the animal, it has something in it that gives you the very ability to break down the substance that you eat? Without it, you begin to have ingestion problems. So if you're eating a bunch of boneless chicken and a boneless beef and all this, and then America's suffering from digestive problems that we've never had before because we've taken the enzymes out of the bones and we don't eat it anymore. So I told her, I said, we need to start eating more gelatin. And she got rid of all Jell-O through the entire house when she found out what it was made out of. I'm not eating that. That's gross. Pastorina, is she in here? Is she in children's church? She's in children's church. Okay, so Pastorina invited my lovely wife very recently to go to one of those health food demonstration places where, you know, you go to a health food store and they say, buy all my stuff. And so she went there and they said, well, one of the number one things you need is gelatin. I wasn't there, so I don't know. Because we just, as Americans, we don't eat it no more. I'm just some ridiculous voice. And so she came home and she said, Tim, we need to start taking gelatin. Excuse me, what? Is this the same lady who found out what Jell-O was made out of and quit eating Jell-O? Yes, but I went to this place and this lady, I know you already said it, but I went to this place and this lady said it. I said, because she has a degree and I'm just a redneck from the backwoods of Florida? When you hear me walk in her mind, this is what happens. I walk into the house and this is what's going on in her mind. Ding, 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 ding. Banjos are playing in the background. What could a redneck know about gelatin? Dear God. So guess what we eat a lot of now? Gelatin. So ladies, I said all that to say your husbands might know a little something. We already know you are the deciding factor in hearing the voice of God. But just every once in a while, we might have something. But I want to say this. Some of us are flirting with temptations that could cost us everything. Moses did. He flirted with a temptation that cost him everything. Trust me, it was a thought before it ever became an action. It was a thought to Moses to kill them before it was ever. I think Moses played it over in his mind. I could be wrong. We could ask him this when we get there. I think Moses played it. How can I be a champion of my people? And I think he played a lot of scenarios out. And this was one of them. And he thought he would be welcome as a savior. And they turned their backs on him because they didn't want to be associated with a murderer. I'm going to tell you something. God does not violate his word to get you to the place you need to be. That's good stuff, isn't it? So some of us are flirting with a temptation that could cost us everything. And we need to hear from God. Some of us know how to treat our loved ones instead of treating them the way we're supposed to. The people who love us the most, we're shoving them away at arm's length because they will always be there. We're flirting with a temptation. Some of us come home and we unleash on our children because we've had a bad day at work. Instead of telling our boss off, like we so desire to do. You do? We'll pray for you. So we come home and we let it come out to the ones we love the most. Or how about this? When we come home, we might medicate ourselves with whatever's in the cupboard. Oh, you would have to go there. Someone said pie. That's so true. Whether it is good home cooking or whether it's pizza, a bunch of soda, or whatever it is that you drown your sorrows with. Whether it's Jack Daniels or gin, I don't know what people drown their sorrows with. Yours is different than mine. I'm not saying I drown mine with gin and Jack. No, I don't. I don't even like the taste of the stuff. So anyway, oh, watch your elbow. Now, and so some of us are dangerously close to making some decisions that could cost a lot in our life. And we need to hear clearly from God. You know, there's some people who reject others simply because they've been rejected. Do you know some people set themselves up to be rejected? They want you to reject them because in their mind they're already going to be rejected. And they don't believe that your friendship can be as good as it is. They see your friendship and they're like, no one's ever been this good to me. Everyone's always hurt me. Every church I've ever been to, they've hurt me. So I've got to shut down. Things are getting too good in this relationship. So I've got to keep them at arm's length. And soon enough, they're going to start talking to me and asking me why. And then if I push them off long enough, they'll leave me. And it'll prove what I already know. Everybody hurts me. Everybody hurts me. I'm saying if you've been hurt in the body of Christ, you can't shut yourself off. Can I tell you something? I've been very hurt in the body of Christ. I've had people who said they were with me hurt me. I've had people who said they would never leave me leave me. I've had people who said they would never say anything bad about me, talk trash about me. And the physical man wanted to do some stuff. But I knew God would take care of it and had to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And I wasn't always correct in being led by the Spirit of the Lord. And I let some things go on longer than I should. And when God was telling, take care of it. And some things I jumped into that I was never supposed to be into. That's why we must hear from the Lord. My last point. Are you ready? When we hear from God, He always reminds us of His promises. When God spoke to Moses, He reminded him of the covenant He made with Abraham. God is not in this to beat you up. God is not in this to destroy you. God is not in this to tell you what an awful person you're in. You are. And some people take it that way. They look at the word and they say, what I'm not. But God's trying to show you what you are. And thank God He doesn't pour more on us than we can handle. You know, the old farmer who went to a church service. A new church opened up in his town. So he went to a church service. He wanted to see the new pastor in town. And when he did, nobody but the farmer showed up. So the preacher, being very disappointed, said to him, well, I'll tell you what. We'll just pray and we'll be done. What do you think about that? And the farmer said, you know what? I go out to feed my cows every day. If one shows up, I'm going to feed them. And so the pastor was all of a sudden inspired, and he went on preaching, much more inspired than I was this morning. He went on for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, four and a half, and he finally closed it down. And afterwards, he was sweaty and tired. He came up to the old farmer and said, what did you think of that? He said, well, let me tell you something, pastor. He said, I go out to feed the cows, and if only one shows up, I feed him. I don't throw everything I have on him. God's promises are yes and amen. And we have a lot to do. I still have a lot to do in my own life, but God is not going to pour everything out on us. He's going to feed us and meet us right where we are. And He's going to keep taking us to the next level, to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. So don't get disappointed when you see something and say, I can never live up to the book. I can never live up to the promises. I can never live up to everything. You live where you are, and God is going to keep taking you to next levels. And He's not going to dump everything on you. So you don't have to, you just walk with God. You just trust God right where you are. And God is going to bring you out. Your heart willing, you stick with the Lord, and you make good faith efforts. And God will bring you out of the mess you were in. Set your feet upon the solid rock that is Jesus. And change your life to a level that you never thought was possible. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. Help us see You in the ordinary. May we not miss the burning bush. May we not miss the simple things.